You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to the Massive Report podcast. If we make any mistakes tonight, do not go back to VAR and review. I mean, who's to say what really happened anyway? We're at Saucy Brew Works again. It's good to have in person, once again, Bart Logan. Murph, Pat Murphy, welcome.
I've made it. I'm here.
You were supposed to play soccer tonight, but you tore up your ankle, or what'd you do?
Yeah, I was guest playing last night.
Bad idea.
I just stepped wrong, and so I don't know.
I retired a long time ago. The last time I played, I felt like I had been in a car accident the next day. I had a blast. I couldn't move for a week, and I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, I was waiting to see how it felt this morning, but I got out of bed, and I was like, nope, still rolled. It's not too bad. Right. I iced it quite a bit last night, so.
Well, good idea.
Yeah, but then I get to be here with you fine folks.
Better than, you know, pounding Jägermeister to dull the pain. That's
I scored a goal in rec hockey Thursday.
Didn't
get injured. Yeah, so.
Good job, Bart.
What up?
Yeah. I didn't know you played hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
So many mysteries. The Bart Logan, the layers of the onion. We just keep pulling. And Sam Fahmy on the control. Sam, you can grab a microphone if you want. No? You're eating wings here at Saucy Brew Works, and how are they?
Fantastic.
A saucy thumb up. And, of course, we are enjoying the fine offerings here at Saucy Brew Works. I got the juicy ASAP, which is usually my go-to here. What do you got there, Bart?
It is the Caught in the Rain. It is a tangerine hazy IPA.
Right.
A little bit of a sour. Sam got it, too. He approves.
All right. Murph?
I don't remember what mine's called. It was a baseball analogy. I was trying to pull the app up here.
Man, memory issues. Kind of like the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, huh, Murph?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's not go into memory.
We don't have time to get into that. We have way too much to get to tonight on the Mass Report podcast. I'm Brian Phillips from CD92.9. I hope you listen to my radio station. And I hope you'll like and subscribe. We are delicate flowers. We need nothing but positive feedback. So please take some time to do that. We do appreciate it. Crew 3, San Jose 3. I think the Crew, Bart, lead the league in head scratchers over the last several years, and that was bizarre at the end.
Yeah, I think that's putting it mildly. I don't. It's one of those. I try not to. It's early in the season.
Right.
You know, it's a team still learning. I would feel a lot better if this wasn't a little bit of a demonstrated pattern under Caleb Porter, just kind of an inability to close some of these games out, especially a, you know, albeit a road game, a game where you're up a man pretty much the entire second half against a team that...
mediocre.
We're not talking the
mediocre
Sounders here. So that's one of those where you've just got to find some way to close it out, and maybe later in the season, you know, that they do find a way to close one of those out, but it feels like that those are points that you left on. And again, maybe coming into the night, you tell us a draw, it may be okay, but you really need to come away with three, especially when you win a man up.
You play that game 100 times, and the Crew win it 98 mm-hmm. times. I mean, it was really no match. I felt like even before Montero was sent off, and that was after a VAR review. So, you know, VAR is the story again. MLS is here's the thing, and any coach, I'm sure, will say this, any player will say this, all I want to know is what your criteria is for reviewing something, and let us know what it is, just so we know. It's very opaque, and that's the last thing you want.
Well, VAR, it's actually pretty simple. So if you're familiar with dating on mobile phones like Tinder or Hinge, you swipe left or you swipe right. So when there's a questionable play that comes up, it actually comes up. Don Garber gets a push notification, and he watches the video and says, yes, and says, okay, am I going to award the yellow? Or are we going to, you know, award the PK? Yes, no, swipe left or swipe right. So it's really whatever he wants.
No, he was too busy last weekend counting all the fans at Charlotte.
That's true. That's true.
Don Garber's seat porn. There was way too much for him to get to there. Murph, you're the journalist here.
Allegedly.
How does it work? And more importantly, how is it supposed to work? And why doesn't it work?
Well, look, I think there is an MLS problem here, because I think it's worse in this league than it is even in other leagues.
Oh, 100%.
And it's really bad in the Premier
League.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, but it's VAR has not been figured out anywhere. And the whole idea was clear and obvious, and you go back and you are correcting the blatant mistakes from a referee. And now it's almost become a crutch for a referee. Like, don't call it. It's like the offside situation now. The referees, and they're told to do this. The linesmen don't pull up their flags so that they can go back and review it. And I understand the idea behind it, but it just takes the refereeing of the guys on the field out of the game, because it can, you know, it's like the penalty kick in the first half. Not called. Wasn't a clear and obvious error. Was there probably contact? Yes. But the pass got off. San Jose continued with the play. And I think at that point, there's no reason to review. You know, if it's called a penalty kick initially and then they go back, that's when I would review it.
So is it like the NHL where they do it in Toronto, MLB, they do it in New York?
There's a VAR official in each state.
And there's only one.
Yep. And so he is – and there's actually a good – I think NBC Sports did this. I don't know where you could find it. But it was like this 30-minute thing from the Bundesliga. It's all in German but subtitled, where you hear the referees talking to each other. And there's even communication during the play of, like, what do you see? And the linesman can contribute. And I assume MLS is doing it the same way, because they have that, you know, the earpiece technology. You see them touch the ear and all that. So
does it work, though? Yeah, maybe they're just touching the ear.
So
hold on. We're discussing this.
Did the president call?
Yeah. So there's conversation throughout the game, and, you know, the video assistant referee can review it on his own and say either, you know, on a black or white call, can say, you got that wrong, change it.
Yeah.
Or he can say, on a questionable, you know, a decision where there needs to be a decision made, like handball or not handball is supposed to be black or white. It's not, but that's supposed to be fall under the umbrella of black or white. Whereas, like, a penalty kick, you send the referee to the monitor. And again, I just think it happens too much. I don't like reviews in most sports, but I think in soccer, where it's supposed to be this continuous game, it makes it really tough. And, you know, I just think it gets overused and has become a crutch for referees.
Bart, the other side of this is the two goals at the end, both could have been denied by clear fouls, and it wasn't reviewed. We had players pulled down on both plays. Nothing.
No, Don Garber.
We're not supposed to look at that?
I mean, it is just how you're supposed to have any sort of credibility to kind of come in here and say, you know, and that's, I mean, feel like we're going to be going around in circles here, but if you're going to use that crutch, you don't change your criteria because you're in the last, you know, in stoppage time. You've got to call. You've got to have consistency, and that's not what they have. And you could. I think it's so weird, because it's like they're afraid. You know, we don't want to at this point. We don't want to have an impact on the outcome of the game. Already had an impact on the outcome of the game. There's a goal that was created because of the decision you made in the first, you know, what, 6 minutes, and so you've already had the impact on the game. Pandora doesn't go back in the box.
Yeah, and I didn't have as much of an issue with the second goal that San Jose scores. I don't think there's really too much that would have been reviewed there. Giassi does get knocked down, but it seemed like more of the run of play. The final goal, Santos definitely gets pulled down. But I think if you're going to look at every corner, I mean, there's stuff every corner kick,
well,
every set piece.
Let's be honest. The tying goal, our marking was terrible.
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah, I missed the second goal because I was making some Cincinnati-style chili in the kitchen, and I had to go stir it up. And my wife goes, oh, Because I thought it was in the bag.
Should have been.
Oh, we just gave up a goal.
So like, did the crew, and that's the problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm making chili, and they're supposed to be making victories. That's the difference.
Yeah. I do think, and this was what Caleb Porter said, and to his credit, and he's been one to criticize referees, we know that. To his credit, post-game, at least in the post-game interview, who knows what was said in the locker room, that, you know, he put the blame on the team, on himself.
That's where it should go.
Yeah, you've got to close a game. And, you know, don't put, and I said this on, I said this in one of our chats today, was don't put this in the hands of the referee late when you're up two goals. You know, you're committing a foul in a bad area, a foul that you didn't need to commit. The corner kick, I just went and we were talking before the show. I just went back and looked at it. That ball gets deflected. Room kind of slowly walks to get it. He steps out of bounds with it, and I think the ball was out of bounds. But, you know, if you make an effort to deny that corner, then you're not in that position to begin with. And, you know, maybe you could have gotten it. I don't know. You know, it's not a great angle on the TV broadcast. But, you know, you put yourself in a position to potentially give up a goal and let the referee make a decision. That's unfortunate. When you're up two goals. Now, if they've been up 2-1 and it's a corner kick, then I think you really have a gripe. But you gave up two goals in the last 6 minutes plus stoppage time.
And you're up a man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, I would love.
And that's where VAR worked in their favor.
I would love someone, a grad student in statistics, to crunch the numbers and go through the history of even a one league and let us know the results of man-down games.
Yeah.
Because I've always felt this way over the years, that it's like, yay! Right. But I remember back in the day, the Crew were 9-11 with DC United one night at Old Crew Stadium, and we tied them.
Yeah.
You know, it there's something psychological. It's not
absolutely
automatic.
And I tweeted at the time of the red card, you know, I thought that this, not that it's not good to have a man advantage, but I thought it almost played into San Jose's advantage. You lost an attacker, so it wasn't like you lost a center back and now you have to change things. You lost an attacker. You're up a goal already. You're probably going to sit back. Now you're really going to sit back. Now Lucas Del Rayan goes out and scores that banger, and that changes things.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of heat back on Twitter, and, you know, I'm fine with that, but about saying that. And, you know, ultimately I think being up a man and being up two goals, now credit to them for getting up two goals, and I think that, and I wrote about this week, I think, you know, the mentality on the road to fight back from a controversial play, get up two goals, I think that says something about this team. But then the end also says something about this team.
I will just say, you mentioned, Brian, if there's, you know, an unenterprising grad student who could look up all of, you know, the results up a man,
you,
and that.
Did you look that up?
That no, but that, by God, I think that is friend of the pod, Elliot McKinley's music playing right now.
That's a good point. I'm sure he could do that. Massive Report. I don't. What do we call him? Friend of Massive Report. He's done some contributing to us throughout the years, and certainly gives us some stats. I bet he could find out what their record is.
Contributing, wink,
just
wink.
Any league, it could be MLS, it could be anything. I would just be fascinated to know whether it makes any difference either way over the long haul, or whether it's not as much of an advantage as you would think. And I'm guessing that it's not as cool as you would think.
I think, and if we assume that you are correct, I would imagine that if you looked at it compared to other leagues where teams are just more economically dominant, you know, you've got your top teams that when they're up a man, they're going to coast.
It's way different.
And maybe that would even subside it a little bit if they go down a man because they're still, I don't know. But I would think in MLS where parity is a real thing, all that, you know, the mentality becomes an even bigger part of the game when there's not as much talent discrepancy.
Yeah.
And that may have changed some in the last few years with designated players and whatnot. When you have a guy like Lucas Del Rayan who can just make something happen, you know, up, down a man. I mean, I thought back to the game to start the 2020 season when they're up a man against New York City and only win that game 1-0 at home. They were better, but they just couldn't. You know, New York City sat back and whatnot. You know, it just doesn't always work in your favor.
Well, I think teams that park the bus against us, that's not a strength that we have. I'm encouraged by what we've seen the first 2 weeks, that the ball movement and people moving off the ball in close quarters, that's already looking way better than last season. And that's really the key with in unlocking. I mean, we're going to have to play Cincinnati eventually. And at that point in the season, they're going to have the bus all warmed up, ready to park.
And I think that's where, you know, one of the guys who I think, again, especially at least offensively, who had a great performance was Steven Marrero. And I think, again, that's one of the differences.
Goodness.
He has an assist. I think he had a hockey assist, too.
He is, through the first two games, is the most pleasant surprise for me.
Seriously.
I'm so excited about his play and how much he's improved and fit into the team. I love how he's just bombing forward at the right times.
He does a lot of Harrison Offal things.
Yeah.
He's not the same player, but he does a lot
bigger.
Of – especially early Harrison, you know, the first few years.
The first few years when MLS –
no bicycle kicks yet.
When MLS players, though, were being surveyed and they were saying – he's the hardest guy to play against, you know, at the right back position or anything. And that's, I mean, you look at that first goal where he's just able to cut through them and then finds Lucas Zelarayan credit obviously for the finish. But that's where a team, I think,
tremendous.
With like a Cincinnati, you know, even if you're parking the bus there, he's able to move there in those close quarters and navigate through you.
And I think another guy, and I know we were going to touch on guys that have impressed, but Derek Etienne, his first two games. He definitely doesn't look like the player that was in New York. And he doesn't look like the player that was good, not good the last 2 years. And, you know, he talked to us before the season about wanting to start the season better and have more consistency and, you know, be a factor statistically. And, I mean, a goal, an assist in this game on a nice half volley that he put back right to Giassi.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's causing havoc.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if he's a guy that helps you a ton in terms of breaking down bunkered defenses, other than if he can get in behind. But he's getting on the ball a bit more. He's looking a bit more to dribble. And he just seems more decisive, and I like that a lot.
Well, I think we're looking to play wide with more effectiveness this season. We certainly tried to do it last year, but it was always really kind of slow and, you know, Luis Diaz would dribble really fast down the wing and then shoot the ball 20 yards over the goal. I think it's with a lot more purpose, and I certainly think when they went down a man, and rightfully so, and that seems
spread
like one
out.
Of the bigger pitches in the league, too. It's just like stretch him out. And I think we're getting good results in that area, and Derek is certainly part of that.
Oh.
He's been tremendous.
Yeah, and I think he's... I think you're going to continue to see competition at that position here. But, you know, I think they came into the season probably thinking, you know, okay, Derek's playing well, though. But I think if everything, all else being equal, you want, you know, another player pushing him and pushing him out of that. But he's not doing it. It was kind of like we talked about Josh Williams last week, kind of those opportunities last year where you'd like to see someone younger. You'd like to see if you're, you know, Tim Bezbachenko, maybe Alexandre Matan pushing him out of there, or even, you know, Lucho Diaz having a renaissance. But he's continuing to be that consistent, and that's what you need. And he's become, I think, just so much more calm and just grown into himself as a player. Again, he's a guy now who's in his prime, so you're getting the best soccer that you're going to get out of him probably. I mean, when it comes to looking at age. So let's keep riding it.
Well, confidence is a big thing in
Huge.
Sports. And you look at his career path, Red Bulls loaned him out to Cincinnati, right?
And that is going to put your confidence down.
And then, you know, he ends up drifting up here. He has that great MLS Cup.
He ended last year well.
Yeah.
It was just consistency and confidence. You're right.
I think he feels like he belongs, and he does.
You're getting that level of consistency, and when you're Caleb Porter, your coach, you're also looking at floor, right? What's the floor performance going to be? And Lucho Diaz or Alexandre Matan, what he's going to give you, you know what you're going to get, and you know what he can provide you at the ceiling, but you know what you're going to get at base, and that is an MLS level contributing winger.
I'm going to lodge some complaints here against some certain players, and one of them, it pains me because we're so used to nothing but professionalism from Jonathan Mensah. But he nearly got Darlington Nagbe killed on that red card.
Yeah.
Those two blind, weak, horizontal passes to the middle, that's stuff you tell kids not to do.
Well,
and he did it twice.
Yes. And I was just going to say that, Bart, and it literally almost sent Darlington to that's why they call it that, is, you know, you can't no-look pass across the middle like that and put a guy in jeopardy. This was not Jonathan's finest game.
No.
I mean, defensively, those last two, he's not only your center back, but he's your captain. You've got to get your team organized. And I talked about this last year, but I think in moments like that, when you just need a guy to kind of grab people by the collar, we're not effing losing this game.
Right.
You know, you miss Josh Williams in that moment.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you look at the guys. There's a lot of talent on the field. Artur is another guy who I think has been great the first two games. You know, Aloy Room is a vocal guy, but he's back in goal. You know, you need somebody out there who will just we're not losing this. Like, grab the guys around you for a second. Take a moment. Ball's out of bounds for a throw. You know, whatever the situation is. Hey, let's get our heads. Let's, you know. And Jonathan's become much more vocal throughout his years at the Crew, and obviously there's a good reason he's the captain. But that's just Josh. And, you know, I know he's obviously hurt. This wasn't a coach's decision or anything like that. But they just need guys. Plural would be great, that can grab them. You know, okay, we give up the second goal. All right, let's keep our heads. Let's keep the ball for 5 minutes here and see this game out. And, you know, just knock it around and possess and don't do anything stupid. And I think they really like – and this isn't anything negative against Jonathan, but as the leader of the team, that's not his strong suit. He does a lot of other things well, both – physically and as the captain, and you know that was a below Jonathan performance on Saturday, but I think that was a big thing that missed.
I noticed that Jonathan, as the captain, spent a lot of time in the center ref's ear this game, maybe to a point of distraction. I know it's his job, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of pissing and moaning where it's like, okay, I get it. I'm mad too, but.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where
Toronto.
I think it is.
They're
job,
the
but,
piss and moan guys.
And the other thing is just if you're a ref, sometimes you're saying you are up a man, and we all of us know, you know, the decision that led to you being up a man, and that maybe it's a little bit dubious. I don't know. But VAR, we talked about it. Regardless, I think you have so much capital, and once you go up a man, and again, maybe a little bit of controversial results, you kind of lose that. And that's just, the refs don't, it isn't all the same thing. They're judging it by the minute, by the interaction. But I think that's one of those things where you're not going to have the leeway, even if that's not the right thing. You're not going to get it when you are up a man like that. And there's got to be a recognition there. You're not going to, you know, Leopard's not going to change his spots.
Right. Well,
Or stripes for a referee.
Yeah. Whatever works.
I guess they don't wear stripes in soccer.
It was an anomaly, though, really. I mean, he's been such a great, solid presence.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read too much into it. It was a bad game.
It was a bad game, and they were still up 3-1.
Right.
And, you know, yes, they give up 2 goals. So,
yeah. I'd be a lot more chapped about it if he had gotten Darlington Nagbe hurt.
Yeah,
that would have been
certainly
a disaster. He's got to clean that stuff up. And we've seen this time to time, lazy passes like that from him. It's kind of a thing.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was going to say right there, is that a couple times last year he had passes that led directly to goals or really good chances. You know, I mean,
brain farts.
Yeah,
let's
exactly
call them what they are.
Exactly. And, you know, he took ownership for that last year, and you know, hopefully this is a reminder, hey, you still can't play those balls. You know, if a guy's there, play it to his feet. In that situation, just play it back to Room. I mean, I know you're near midfield, but,
blast the ball into touch if you have to. You know, I don't care. Just don't do that. That's just an unpardonable sin. Are we worried about Eboa and Dejanic? Really had, other than the penalty kick that we can say was or wasn't warranted, he really had a nothing game.
He almost gave up a second one in the second half.
Yeah. Are we worried?
I'm not worried about anything right now. I think that these are two guys brand new to the league. You know, it's not like these are – it's not – if this were Jahlil Anibaba, for instance, who had played in the league for years, and even then, you know, he's still coming to a new team. Let's remember, Dignac just got to the team shortly before, you know, right before he made his preseason debut on that Tuesday night game or whatever it was. He just got into the team, so he's adjusting to a new league. He's played a lot, actually, recently with club and country. And, you know, with Yao Yeboah, you know, I'm still interested in what he's going to be. You know, the YouTube highlights look great, but I just don't know enough about him. And in week one, I thought he was really good. And in this game, he wasn't on the ball enough. He didn't do anything. Right. So, but I'm, you know, I think the jury is still out on both of them. You know, if you have one bad game and one good game out of a two game sample size, I'm not too concerned at this point. I thought, you know, especially Milos, I thought he was very solid. Now, they didn't have a ton to do against Vancouver, but I thought he was very solid in that game. And, you know, you also are forming a partnership with a new guy who, as we mentioned, struggled also in that game. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned.
All right. Well, I suppose we shouldn't be. That would be overreacting, which is sort of our job, right, Bart? We're supposed to overreact. Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm up in Toronto, Canada, I would be freaking out and overreacting at the terrible form from a team coming off their most disappointing season in their history. Toronto FC looks like a big pile of stinky garbage.
I thought more Bradleys would be better. Isn't that going to fix everything?
And we'll talk about what we remember of Bob Bradley tactically. I think it's a curious hire because, you know, coming off a terrible season, his son is still the biggest name on the team, and, oh, we're bringing in dad. That's the answer.
I feel like once you get to a certain level, it just, you cannot coach. Your dad cannot be the coach.
Right.
You cannot be.
Hey,
just,
when my daughter was 9, I said, you need better coaching. And I said, we're doing club tryouts because, you know, dad has done all he can do. If you want to be a better player, we need to turn you over to professionals. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. I think she was happy with that. I think she knew.
Well, are you comparing yourself to Bob Bradley here?
No, in Brian's terms of a far, far more decorated soccer coach.
I'm going to need to see the resume there.
You know, I had some pretty good U18s. What I'm saying, though, is that in jest, is that, and you bring, I think you kind of bring up a good point, even though we're joking around here, is that why now? You know,
this is weird.
It's weird.
And if you're Toronto, I don't understand. Especially if you're, you know, you recognize Michael Bradley's got a lot of mileage on him. This, I mean, obviously
only 34, which is kind of shocking.
He's been playing for a while.
Remember, he was forgotten when they put out something about families in MLS or something after week one. They forgot about the first time these two were together in New York. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, I don't think that Bob Bradley can do anything with this roster.
I think the roster is the problem, and
it's bad.
I don't understand.
You don't bring somebody in like to sort of, you know, Bob Bradley is a guy that you have as someone who's won at MLS, but, you know, wins with the talent, and you're kind of going to get that if you're.
He's not getting the Bruce Arena experience here, you know, with New England.
No.
Not at all.
But it took Bruce, I mean, it took them a couple years to get going.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, let's remember, the guy who built those Toronto teams that were really good now in Columbus.
Yeah.
And I think that's the guy they haven't really found the replacement for yet. You know, you're still trying to figure that out. And, you know, you had Greg Vanney leave. He obviously went to the Galaxy. So I honestly thought Bob Bradley to Toronto was a good signing. And I've never been a huge Bob Bradley as a coach fan. Just philosophically wise, I don't like the way his teams play. Now it's changed, and LAFC played some enjoyable soccer and whatnot. But, you know, he's a guy who can win in MLS. He just, to Bart's point, though, he needs the talent. And they don't have that right now.
Tactically, real quick, just as a reminder, what are sort of Bob Bradley hallmarks?
Well, I think the nice thing that he's done is it's changed from team to team. I mean, if you look at the way that his Chicago Fire teams played, now that's a very – you look at – let's say you look at the way the U.S. national team played. It adjusted quite a bit under him, depending on who was called in, you know, who was available. And I think that's something that non-Crew fans have complained about Greg Berhalter and the current U.S. national team is there's not enough – you know, Greg wants to play this one way, and we can debate that all we want. But so I think, like, you know, his team was focused around Carlos Vela in LAFC, and that's, you know, why of course you're going to do that. And they had other guys and whatnot, and, you know, they played without a true number nine at times and things like that. So I think he's adjusted well. I just think, you know, you're two games in and you've gotten rid of Josie, who wasn't great at the end of TFC. You're still playing Michael, who we all knew was going to continue to play. And sure. I think Michael's still done some things. I just don't think he's a 90-minute every game player anymore. And, you know, I don't know if he's found the way what his TFC team is going to be yet.
And it's early. Again, yeah. It's early, but the roster's not impressive. I mean, Akinola is out with knee surgery. The darling of MLS is back, if we remember that.
I will just point out which I had to look at this because it is absurd. 643 passes, more than twice as many as New York. Obviously, New York went up early against Toronto and then went up more and then went up more.
The Lewis Morgan hat trick in the first half.
More than twice as many passes. You passed the ball 643 times.
How many
and
shots?
You managed six shots, four on target.
Yeah.
And that is.
On 56% possession against Dallas, their 1-1 draw in the opener, eight shots. And you look at the other end of this thing, and their goalie, Alex Bono, has made five saves and allowed five goals.
He is no bueno.
This is terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at the way they lined up. You know, it's more or less the same each of the first two games. You know, and to your point, Brian, in terms of their roster, I mean, these guys that are starting, you know, Pozuelo was the guy they signed last year. And he's a nice attacking midfielder for sure, but he hasn't changed things. Now, I believe they are adding a name later in.
Insigne.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah.
He won't be here until July.
Correct.
He's a Serie A guy.
And I am not entirely sure, and I've told Sam and Patrick this, and in our group chat. Yeah, I don't know. They MLS build this is like this is the next Zlatan, the next Beckham. You know,
he's
and I don't
30
know.
Years old.
Yeah, he's not old. He's played in Italian league where you don't travel very much.
Right.
And now you're playing where you're crossing the border. There's still potential COVID stuff that's going to happen a lot. Like, things could get weird. Plus, I mean, he's a good player. He'll be good in MLS. But is he the savior for Toronto? I don't know. Maybe
Bart,
that means that
he's trying to be like, oh, my passport, no work.
maybe he means that Bradley doesn't play as much. I mean, maybe, you know, that's the position.
Yeah.
That's when you figure out if, you know, if Bob Bradley is a real MLS coach. And if this is, look, bench your kid. Bench your kid, Bob Bradley.
Here's a little nugget, though. That
Not this
that,
weekend, though.
That,
no.
Crew fans are going to want to boo him, and I'm going to get talked about because I've one time suggested that maybe they should stop that.
I don't think it's going to stop.
No, I don't
even
think
in
so
the
either.
Snow, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But this should tell you a lot. And this, I missed it until I was doing some research today. That in January they brought Sebastian Giovinco into camp in California,
right.
And he ended up signing with Sampdoria,
yep.
Who a bottom feeder in Serie A, trying to stave off relegation.
I once managed them in Football Manager. That's really, yeah, they're purple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
It did not go great. I didn't stay long.
They're 1 point above the relegation line in Italy at this point. They brought him in because they've had some injury problems. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that tells you, I think, that they could see the forest for the trees back in January, that this was not going to be good. And we certainly remember Giovinco as being a superstar in this league.
Huh.
But, you know, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, well, he went and he got paid in Saudi Arabia, and then it was probably like, I want to get the hell out of Saudi Arabia. Quality of life, not quite there.
No.
So let's see what happens. And, yeah, I'm just glad that crew, because there were those absurd rumors, you know, trying to link, see if Bezpachenko's kind of going to rekindle the flame back. I mean, this was last year,
yeah,
probably.
When I asked, I saw Tim in the press box last year. And when I said, is there anything to the Giovinco stuff? And he goes, what do you mean? And I was like, well, he wants to move. And he was like, I don't know where that came from. And this was technically off the record, but I feel like we've passed the statute of limitations on this. And it's nothing bad. But he was just like, I don't know where that came from. He's like, I liked his Instagram post that he was leaving whatever. And he's like, that's the only interaction we've had. So yeah. I don't, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, people... These days, you could like something, and it's the end of your life. So you got to be careful with that stuff. Just as a note, you know, we see teenagers play in this league, but rarely do we see them play a position like right back. And that's where Toronto has been starting Jaquiel Ruddy. I know nothing about him, but just a 17-year-old in that position seems eyebrow-raising as well. That's a lot for a kid to bite off. I mean, long story short, we've been saying it for 15 minutes. This is a bad team that we should completely work over, even in the snow. The forecast for Saturday is terrible, guys. I'm going to weenie out. I'm going to be watching this on my couch because it's supposed to snow and it's supposed to be windy, and I'm just not down for that. It was 75 degrees this last Saturday.
It's Ohio, baby.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's how we do.
Well, I'm going to do it for my couch.
How great would it have been to have a game on Saturday here? I mean,
it was perfect. It was so gorgeous.
I know it's nice to always have the home opener on opening weekend and all that, but, man, if you could have flipped those two, played in Vancouver and then played San Jose at home however you wanted to do it, that would have been.
I mean, you don't know.
No,
I mean,
you
when you make
don't.
The schedule. It's a crapshoot. So if that's what we're getting on Saturday, I don't know. I suppose it doesn't really make any difference. Both teams are used to playing in all kinds of weather. So but we'll kind of set that aside, and I hope that everyone bundles up. Are you going, Bart?
I actually will not be. I'm going to be in Northeast Ohio. Not, unfortunately, probably boiling any sap for maple syrup, but at least – helping the family get the sugar shack ready for when it does thaw.
Very good. Well, then you're not going to be able to watch the game, are you?
I will try to be watching from now that it's on Bally Sports, it's a little bit easier to get up there.
Yeah, you should be able to get it, I would think. Right.
And Murph, you'll be in the... How is the press box for bad weather?
I will not be in the press box. I will be... Well, it really depends what happens with Ohio State basketball this week. I am back or not. But if I'm back, I will be in the stands in the cold. But the press box is great when it's cold out.
No, I'll tell you what, I'll be in my press box, the couch with a cold beer in my hand, my dog's at my feet. That's where I'm going to be.
Sam will be on the sideline freezing his
butt out. Oh, no, Sam.
Taking those fine pictures.
Good Lord, taking it for the team. Well, you always do a great job with the photos. We appreciate it. And, you know, I don't know if your camera can freeze or anything, but we're going to find out.
It's my background now. Great photo that he took of the you can't really see because of all the prompts. Yep.
Yeah.
That he took of that TIFO for the opening day and then use it as a phone background.
Beautiful.
I will absolutely. Massive Report you should throw a little Massive Report logo on that. Throw that on the site and say explicitly make this your phone background.
Even if you don't enjoy reading, just going to massivereport.com and looking at the fine photography from Sam. Just go and do that. It's good for your soul. And Ralph as well.
No, kidding. We love you, Ralph.
All right. So
he gets for not being here.
Yeah, right.
Are you telling me you need a beer break?
Yeah, I think we should take a short commercial break without a commercial.
All right. We'll be right back after nothing with more of the Mass Report as we go to the bar and get more delicious Saucy Brew Works. We'll be right back. We want to kind of wind things down with our picks, the Toronto game. And also, just kind of update you with a new season. We've got some changes at massport.com. I'm going to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version of what we got going on. We think it's good stuff. So we'll get to that here in a moment. We are back at the Saucy Brew Works here at 3rd and Michigan, and we are refreshed. It was a good idea by Murph to stop
every
down briefly for a refreshment break. I think that was a beautiful idea. You know, I'm often accused of being kind of a negative Nelly Bart. I try not to be, but sometimes you get a little focused on complaining about stuff. And the way the world is now, you know, it's probably not cool to complain about stuff that really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that important. So, but what I think is a good thing, and Murph reminded me, is like, you know, we need to talk about Lucas. I'm like, duh, of course we do, and that's my fault for looking at things to complain about and not talking about the beautiful game and the beautiful game that Lucas brings us.
I think it's that you almost just take it for granted. Like, it's
yes.
Like, you know,
yeah.
hey, he's got the ball with, you know, a yard outside the box. Okay, well, he's going to put a really good shot on target and probably score. Yep. Dead ball.
Well, the
ball on his foot doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
the free kick. The free kick, I was pretty much, they're screwed.
Yeah.
This ball is going in. That is like his spot.
Yeah.
They should paint a spot on the field where you should not foul
Lucas. I was at another bar that I won't mention, but it's a bar that if you know me and you know what I have done a lot this year with Manchester United, where I'm talking about, but it's a similar bar to where we're at now for the game on Saturday. And the first goal, there were a decent amount of crew fans there. First goal, people were very excited. And the second Lucas goal, people were also excited, but it was just like no one was surprised.
No.
Like, not at all. I think people were ready to celebrate. It was like they drew a penalty kick instead of a free kick outside the box.
Right. He sent the ball exactly where you knew he would send it, and they fouled us exactly where they shouldn't have. We've been talking during our commercial break. We were talking a lot about analytics. And I'll tell you what, there's analytics out there. Don't foul Columbus Crew players here.
Well, and here's
just walk to the touch, you know, sideline at that point. Just why even do they? I was watching the replay that has obviously the San Jose broadcasters, and they're just like, yep, nope. They all jumped right at the same time. Everything that
didn't
you
matter.
Want from a wall, he went exactly where he knew it was going to be. It just didn't matter. Yes, it's just,
well,
you can't stop it.
I think one of the things, you know, because we saw how good he was at the beginning of last year, and then teams for the most part, and they played mostly Eastern Conference teams last year, you know, were very careful about fouling crew players. You saw his numbers from free kicks drop off in the second half of the year because there just weren't as many attempts. The last time they played San Jose, Lucas Del Rayon wasn't on the team.
Right.
And I'm sure they've done their homework, but if you're not reminded because you've played them multiple times, like most Eastern Conference teams did last year.
New York.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Specifically. Yeah. But if you're not reminded of that, you know, you're just playing the game. You're playing the game. I think it was Darlington Nagbe who got fouled, you know. Like, Eastern Conference teams, at least the second half of last year, were much more careful. And that's another, you know, yes, he doesn't score a free kick, but
opens up space.
Correct.
Creates shots.
But I just think, so the first 2 years he was here, obviously great. And I think there's a real argument about, if you're going to look at that number 10 position, who is the best that's played for the Crew. And I know he's only been here a couple years, but he's certainly in that conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
But he is much less, at least the first years, was much less of a playmaker and more of almost like a second forward. You know, he's more of a goal scorer than setting guys up. But some of the passes he's making this year, and I don't know if it's just because everyone's healthy right now and these guys know each other well, and he plays really well with Miguel Berry, which I know is part of the reason Caleb Porter is starting Miguel Berry. And that's not to say Giassi Zardes doesn't. They just seem to have something between them. But I think that part of his game is starting to develop with the Crew, and if he can add setting up and he continues to score as much as he is, this offense becomes significantly more dangerous.
I saw a snapshot of the match in the second half where Lucas had the ball. Four guys, San Jose.
Yeah.
It's like a diamond shape. They were all drifting towards him. You know, I mean, he really does draw that much. much interest. And I'm glad you brought up Miguel, too, because that was in my notes.
Yeah.
And we got lost in, again, that's my fault, complaining about stuff, you know, because we do need to talk about who starts on Saturday. Miguel didn't score, and Jossie did, but he had a good game, right? Miguel Berry.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I think what you're going to see, yes, he did have a good game. And I'm glad Jossie was able to come in and score too, because I think you want both of these guys in form. I think if you're Caleb Porter, you want this to be a tough decision every single game. And, you know, he's talked a lot in the preseason about different formations, and they're going to play different ways depending on the opponent, depending on road or away, or road or home. And we've seen them play basically the same, you know, they play the same formation, but they played two teams that kind of play the same way, play with a back five, back three. You know, they knew how to attack that because they'd done it against Vancouver, and you saw the success. We'll see them together at points this season, which I think is very interesting. And I'm not even sure how well that works, because I think they're similar, but that doesn't mean it can't work. But, you know, if I'm a betting man, I think that Jossie at the end of the season probably plays more games, has better statistics. But I'm not entirely confident of that with the way Miguel's played. And, you know, his first game, if he doesn't get the deflection on the goal, I don't know if he gets talked about as much, but he still played well. And, you know, he's combining well. He's working hard. I think Jossie still has a better overall grasp of where he needs to be with the pressing and just a lot of the Jossie things that he does. But, you know, Miguel's in his third year in the league, and it might as well be his first, given when he really got to play last year and not playing at all his rookie year. So it's really impressive what he's doing. And I know that there are certain MLS national pundits that have suggested that the Crew will trade Jossie, but if you're then going to rely on...
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, and it's not like Jossie is a huge cap number that's, you know, pulling you down, or Miguel is
exactly
making good money too. You know, Miguel's not Bradley Wright Phillips, where, you know, he wasn't making a ton last year for the Crew, but he was making more than a guy on a rookie salary. So, like, you're okay... And if you're playing well, you know, you don't need to address another need by trading a Jossie. And again, I think Jossie still has a lot to do for this team.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, again, maybe setting aside Caleb Porter's, you know, thing about us being a budget team. There's not, you do not need to get rid of a DP just because they are not starting. If you do not have somebody lined up to take that DP slot, you don't need to buy them down just for the sake of, you know, not having them occupy that designated player slot if you do not have someone ready to bring into that.
Which
I think I could see value if you were to, you know, be signing a designated player winger maybe to come in. But if you don't have that person lined up, and more importantly, if you don't have somebody lined up to back up Miguel Berry that is not Eric Hurtado,
right.
There is absolutely no
reason.
And
I saw Eric Hurtado score two nice goals in training in 7v7 recently, but that's not the guy you want as your number two.
No, I don't want to – and nothing against him. I don't want to see him on the field unless it's garbage time. And God forbid there's injuries that force that. But that would be – and Tim Bezbijenko is smarter than that. He's not going to trade a guy because, you know, he's not starting.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's just
Jossie knows who he is, and he's
– Well, and that's the thing. Jossie is Jossie. He's not one of the diva forwards in this league who, you know, I play for the national team. Why am I not starting over this kid? Jossie works with Miguel to make Miguel better. You know,
he's such a great guy.
Right. So there's no issues here. If there were issues and you needed, you know, if it was a Kai Kamara situation where you have
about that last week.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
if you have Ola Kamara on the bench, okay, fine. You move one of the guys, but there's no animosity as far as I can tell. They really like each other. They work together to get better, and you know.
And it's gonna flip. It's gonna flip flop.
The only way you trade Jossie is if you're getting
back. Strikers are hard to come by.
Right, and
goal scorers are hard to come by.
I think that if you're the Crew and you were looking at making additions, I don't even think forward is a thing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's two games in the season, so I don't know if we need to talk about that. But like Bart, you mentioned winger. We'll see what Yao looks like. Mm-hmm. 15, 12, whatever games into the season. Like, that's a position where you could potentially add, if you wanted to add a DP. But, you know, maybe you need a left back at some point. But I don't think either of those is a trade Giassi situation.
Yeah. No, it's just like, I don't even want to start that fire. I'm not rubbing two sticks together over Giassi versus Miguel Berry. I think that in their own weird way, the Crew have figured out a way to make this work, and I would not be at all surprised if Giassi started against a conference opponent, a rival. Is the Trillium Cup still in existence?
Oh, the most storied trophy in MLS. The one other point that I will quick make on that is that I think that, again, kind of to what Murph was alluding to, Giassi Zardes is a guy that makes Miguel Berry better. His ceiling, his long-term development as a player, I think it's a boon to have a guy like Giassi Zardes around who can teach him the skill sets that Giassi has that are so good, that like that ability to press, like that ability to move and to draw defenders, even when you're not going to be the one taking those shots. Yeah, that hold the ball. Those things that are going to be that difference for Miguel Berry to make him an elite all-around MLS forward. And so I think you've got to measure it up against that, too. What are you doing? What are you subtracting from Miguel Berry long-term as an MLS contributor if you take away this great person to learn from who can also still contribute, obviously, at a high level for an MLS team that is looking to make some noise?
Yeah, and I think, too, if you're trading Giassi, what are you getting in return? Because how much... Look at the value he provides the Crew.
That's why you need a DP.
Like to Bart's point, not only is he providing, you know, the on-field value, but the off-field locker room value, the help with Miguel Berry.
Yeah,
and other teams aren't necessarily going to recognize. I mean, you look at the way U.S. national team fans view Giassi when he starts a game, and obviously MLS GMs we hope are smarter than people on Twitter. But the point is, he provides more value to the Crew than he probably does in the eyes of most other MLS front offices. So you're probably losing on your investment there.
That's a non-starter, and I just want it to work going forward. Does he start? Does Giassi start on Saturday against Toronto?
I think so, probably.
Me too.
You know, you'd go with the hot hand foot.
Well,
I guess.
And he's had 2 weeks where he's played one game, so you swap him out.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you're probably, if you're Caleb Porter, you come into this with whether it's the 45-minute mark or whether it's the 60-minute mark, you want to make sure to give Miguel Berry that time and that ability to run out. But he's gotten the starts. You've got it here in the home team and Giassi, that they've both scored goals. All else being equal, I think this is, you give Giassi, the run at it, and you can always change things, but that's hot hand.
I think you start Eric Hurtado, let him get his goal, then everyone's rolling, right?
You save him for Cincinnati.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have zero
confidence. Miguel Berry only needs 2 minutes to do his job against Cincinnati.
I have zero confidence in Toronto bringing in a fight on Saturday at all.
Well, at least the players, the fans.
Well, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, though, this is probably an... Have Elliot look this up, too, if you would. Have we ever played Toronto earlier in the day ever than we are?
What do you mean, like
this,
a 1, what is it, 1:30?
1:30 kickoff,
yeah.
Which I think
it's at
is
halftime
beautiful.
Of my Manchester
I'm
United
so tired
game.
Yeah. of drunken Toronto fan, pounding Coconies, that's a Canadian beer, all day on the bus coming home from Toronto. And by the time they get here, they just, all they want to do is head. They want to do the headbutt thing. They want to headbutt you. So we'll do it at 1:30, and then you guys can go out and, you can go back to Canada.
Exactly.
And get hammered on the bus and throw up on each other, and we don't have to deal with you.
And I just always, the good thing that I always like to do with Toronto fans is not to bring this and make this about hockey, but they are Canadian. They do love it, and they do love their Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's always good to remind them that
they have never won a Stanley Cup when there were more than six teams playing. So
is that true?
It's true.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I just perceive them as like...
I know. We think of them as the New York Yankees, and that's really the pressure. Is unbelievable.
So the Blues have more Stanley Cups than them with a normal league?
Well, yeah. With beyond the original six. They never won.
That is amazing.
Outside of the original
six. To think about, because we think about the Canadians and Toronto being these... the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
And
they are kind of like the Boston Red Sox in that the Boston Red Sox didn't win for like 100 years. But the difference is the Boston Red Sox then started to win when there were actually more than a baker's dozen teams in the league, where Toronto, doesn't.
No wonder they drink
They just did it against a St. Louis
team. No wonder
they
drink like they do. Toronto, FC fan. Well, Toronto's a lovely city. Nothing against it. I love Canadians. I just don't like Toronto FC fans. They're worst. Are they the worst fan base in this league?
Chill. I mean, they've harassed children.
I know.
Wait until the Fire get good again.
I had, if those people come back.
I don't know. They signed what's his name this offseason.
I swear to God, the old stadium. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. I was the MC for the pregame. Drunken Toronto fan with a 1,000-yard stare. I mean, this guy was like, he was gone. And it was 6 o'clock at night.
It was me in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He walked up and unplugged the stage. He unplugged our power. And I'll never forget the look. I don't know where this guy is now. Probably Canadian prison. You know? It's just unbelievable.
Was it because you weren't playing the Tragically Hip enough?
It didn't matter. This guy was just like looking for trouble. He wasn't going to get it from me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I could have taken him. He had
that
look, you know, like he was an extra in Train Spotting or something. He just had that look. He's like, I don't want to mess with this guy. You know, we can plug the power back in. It's going to be okay. Somebody else has got to ride on a bus back to Toronto with this guy. Oh, my God.
You need to play. Oh, wait, no. Celine's from Quebec. Like, just do something just to needle
them. Oh, my God. I want to kick their ass so bad on Saturday because I just hate their fans so much.
She's definitely Canadian. I don't know.
Let's make our picks, eh? Let's the Trillium Cup, leg one, Murph.
I would say I'm slightly nervous, just like because Toronto hasn't played well, that they just, this like is a game where they come in and play better. But I still think the Crew win. I'm going to go, I haven't really thought this all the way through yet. I'm going to go 2-1 Crew, but I may change that by the end of the week when we make our official on
that is
site.
Very conservative. Sam, go ahead. Give him the mic there. 2-0 Crew. All right. I just think that this is an ass kicking. Can I say ass on this?
You just did.
You got to say arse, right?
Arse.
No, that's English.
This is an arse kicking, eh?
Forget about it.
This is. I've seen nothing from Toronto statistically, highlight wise, lineup wise, that gives me any confidence that they can come in here and do anything. 4-0. It's a repeat
that would be,
of Vancouver.
I like it.
That would be, what, I have to do some quick math here. 7 goals, 4 more goals. That's a lot of goals scored in the first 3 games of the season.
4-0.
I think that would be continuing the record pace that they're on.
Still less than Cincinnati.
Less than Cincinnati conceded.
All right, Bart.
This one's a real tough one.
I've got to think about it pretty hard.
You already went for the 4, and that's real tough there. I'm going to go with, obviously, I think a Columbus Crew win in this one. I think they've been working real hard and been putting in what you're looking for from a team standpoint. I think we'll go with about 6-0, right? Why not?
6-0.
No.
I love it.
I'd like that for, you know, honestly, if I'm going to be objective here, I think 4-0 seems right. I think there's at least one goal that's off of Michael Bradley deflection off of that head. Maybe another one where the lights catch the bald spot in just the wrong part, and it blinds Bono. Yeah, the sun.
The stadium
sun. Yeah, the sun and lens.
The light is reflecting off the blizzard conditions.
Yes, exactly. Bob Bradley, you know, he actually will give him credit. He passes the test and he cuts his own son and leaves him here in Columbus.
Wow.
And
to do
that's
what?
I don't know. That's his problem. He ain't
crew
a Toronto player anymore.
Crew two, yeah, there you go.
No. I don't want him. I don't want him getting that stink of loss and failure.
All right, we gotta wrap this up. You know, yes, Bart and I are insane, but you know, 4-0. Why not? Mm-hmm. A lot of things can happen. All right, we covered a lot of ground tonight. We thank you so much for listening to the Mass Report podcast. We thank our hosts and sponsors, Saucy Brewworks. We have enjoyed our saucies.
And don't forget our good co-podcaster and now editor-in-chief or managing editor of the Mass Report pod, the Mr. Pod.
Editor-in-chief.
Yeah, I don't. It's. I think it's managing editor.
Okay.
I think is the
official. Well, congratulations.
Title. No, it really doesn't change anything. It just means that Patrick's not going to be around very much. So.
All right.
Let's just save Sam and I some grief dealing with Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So now
Patrick Golden.
Now Patrick Murphy is the one that is carrying the Massive Report articles to Tim Bezpachenko to make sure that they are okay before they publish instead of Patrick Golden.
Does that happen?
Does
Tim Bezpachenko listen to and edit the Mass Report podcast?
No, I don't think so.
I was
so.
Not aware of that.
No, real quick, while we're talking about it. I mean, I'm sure people saw Patrick's tweet back several weeks ago. I've stepped into a more behind-the-scenes role, which, Brian, you asked earlier about if I'll be at the game. I've got season tickets now. I'm going to Game More as fan.
Really?
So I get to do some of that,
Can
which
I get
will be
some
fun.
Of that ticket action?
Well, no, I paid for them. I paid them.
Fine. Whatever. We could go as friends.
You can come with me whenever
come
you want.
With us, yeah.
But Bart's not even going to be there this weekend.
Yeah, but in
and then
we've games.
We've got Thomas Costello, who I'm sure people are becoming familiar with on the site. He's taken over a lot of the day-to-day stuff. Obviously, we lost Ori to NBC this offseason. And we've got a lot of other people that have stepped up, new people, old people, doing some stuff. So we'll still have a lot of good stuff on the site. It may
Absolutely.
Be a little different. People are doing things a little different way, which I'm fine with. But, I'll see people in the Nordic more often, which
good
may be good,
you.
May be good, maybe bad, depending on which Twitter fan.
When he has bad tweets, you know where to find him.
Second half tweets. This could be a feature. Second half tweets with Murph.
Yeah.
Right? The 80th minute with Murph. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
No one's going to want that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we got to go.
Yeah, you lose the check mark.
Thank you, Saucy Brewworks. We've been saucy tonight. We'll be back here next week to break down our beatdown of Toronto FC. And we invite you again to like and subscribe. We appreciate it. That's Murph, that's Bart, that's Sam, I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD 92.9. I would appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week here in the Mass Report Podcast.